Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is the Marks and Reese Show. I'm your host, Ike Reese, sitting in for Johnny Marks today. It's my main man, Elliot Shore Parks.
Hope John feels better for tomorrow, though.
That was
I don't know if you can do, you know, three straight days. Probably need your boy back.
Well, I think one. I think it was earlier this year.
Yeah, five straight.
I think, yeah. Didn't we do five straight days?
Yeah, I slept like the whole weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That was a lot of work for you.
Yeah, it was 4 hours a day, five days in a row. I'm not built for that. These hands are built for tweeting from home, you know?
You're not a stamina guy?
No.
Pause. Yeah. Well, man, come on, man. You got a newlywed. Come on, man.
Yeah, nah, dude.
Be good in there. Okay.
Boy, I almost got a 10-incher.
I tried to move before he got to.
Yeah.
Yes. I tried to move on.
He's quick.
Anyway, we are discussing our beloved Eagles as we roll into the 3 o'clock hour. In the first hour, man, listen, we talked about the rumor out there from Pro Football Talks, Mike Florio, that somehow keep an eye out for the Eagles.
And he's the one who had him to the Rams last year.
Right, yeah, he wanted to make sure he pointed that
out. Yeah, he was like, just so you guys know before how crazy this sounds, the Rams.
We were the one who said.
We had the Rams, and to his credit.
Last year you didn't really think, like, okay, why would OBJ be going to the Rams?
So I do think there could be this angle of it, which I don't think we've discussed yet. So yesterday it comes out that the Cowboys don't think he's healthy enough to play.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to guess where Florio's hearing this from, but it would make sense then for Odell's camp to come out the next day and go, I'm not healthy. Well, guess where I might sign? The team that's the biggest competition for you to get to the Super Bowl, the biggest team in the division, and for what it's worth, the other team he might sign with is the Giants, another divisional opponent of the Eagles, the team that's about to play the Eagles.
I like that. I like that second-level thinking of yours right there. I like that.
So I do wonder. The timing is interesting.
Hmm. Well, I tell you, these agents, they play these games, man, using...
It's all bull. It's like when Trey Turner was like, maybe I'll go to the Padres you know, whatever.
Well, he turned down $41 million less or whatever.
Man, they can't sign anyone.
No one wants to play with the Padres.
Did you see that group that was rapping on their behalf?
Yeah. It cost them Trey Turner and Aaron Judge.
Yes, exactly. My goodness. But yes, before we went to break, I had teased... That Elliot, how did I phrase it, Jack? That Elliot had a stat
about if the Eagles are truly a dominant team,
right, or not? So break this down for me, E.
So this website, I actually don't have what website it was, but props to
awesome.
Them.
Awesome. Is it a real website? Or
no,
is it
is. Yeah, it's Kay Ford Ratings. So it's
it's known, legit.
Known as one of the best.
Is it PFF or is it Walter Football?
Well, it's bad, so nobody will believe it. If it was good, everyone would respect
right.
the
They'd
site.
Buy but, in, yeah.
So basically, what they did, they took all the one score games this year. So the games the Eagles won by one possession or less. And they flipped them. So if they won that game, they turned it to a loss. And they did that for every team in the NFL. And what I thought was interesting about this was if you took all the Eagles' one-possession games and flipped them to losses, mm-hmm. they're no longer a playoff team. But if you do it for the Niners, the Cowboys, the Seahawks, you do it for the Chiefs, you do it for the Bills, they're all still playoff teams. In fact, the only other team besides the Eagles, at least like that you would view as a contender, would be the Vikings. The Vikings would drop all the way to 1-11. The Eagles would be 6-6.
Because the majority of their wins, the Vikings, that is, have been one possession.
Right.
Games.
The majority of the Vikings' wins have been by, I guess, 8 points or less, right?
Yeah.
Now, from the Eagles' perspective, you look and you go, okay, well, this means they're good at winning close games. But
that's kind of where I would go.
And I also think some of these Eagles' one-possession games are not really one-possession games. Like, they're up big in those games and a team comes back. It's mm-hmm. not a super close the whole way, but the Niners would be the top team in the NFL. The top team in the NFC. The Cowboys would be the number 3 seed. You go over to the AFC, the Bills would be in the playoffs. The Chiefs would be in the playoffs.
The Eagles wouldn't.
It's a little interesting. The Eagles would not. The Eagles would be 6-6.
Yeah, and like you said, as you dive deeper into those numbers and the fact that we watch the Eagles every week, so we know how these games ended and how it got to be a one-score game. as opposed to what the Vikings have sort of done, you realize that there are certainly games there where the Vikings could have easily
could
lost
have easily
that
gone
game.
The other way.
I mean, the Buffalo game is the one that sticks out to my mind first and foremost. They had no business winning that game. Josh Allen fumbling the ball on the 1 yard line.
The Jets this past week.
The Jets game. So you know, as opposed to the Eagles, where they may have had an early lead and a team closed to within one score. Now the Colts game, that's one you could say could have gone the other way. I'm trying to think of another one.
I mean, the Cardinals.
Oh yeah, the Cardinals.
But even the Cardinals, they were up 14-0 in that
That's
game.
Right.
Now it
exactly.
was close the majority of the second half, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and they were driving, and they had to give the one timeout because of the injury, and then they messed up the clock. So
right.
You know what? That may be, now that I'm thinking about it, that may be the only game of the season where I'm like, yeah, the Eagles were fortunate to win that game. Not saying they would have lost in overtime. I don't know that.
Right.
But not
the Colts game. They were down 10 in the fourth quarter.
But they won it.
No, you're talking about they beat the Cardinals and you thought they were fortunate to win that game.
Yes.
You don't think against the Colts
they actually came back and won the game against the Colts. The Colts stink.
I think the Cardinals
gave that game away. Like, I didn't think the Eagles got lucky against the Colts to win the game. I thought
they earned it at the end.
Yeah, I thought the Cardinals was more unfortunate. Kyler slid before the first down.
Yeah.
They weren't ready on the sideline. Like, instead of that game,
Jalen had an interception dropped, I think, in that game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, right before the field goal got kicked. So that's one that, you know, they could have lost in overtime. I'm not saying they got lucky that they won. Maybe I did say that, but that's the one game where I felt like
you didn't feel great coming out.
But that's the only one. The actual Colts game, I just didn't feel like they played their best game, but every team goes through one of those games, and that was just the Eagles game, and it was a testament to them that they overcame poor play from the offense. The defense didn't play poorly that day. They kept them in the game, and the quarterback made the plays in the fourth quarter that we want a franchise quarterback to make.
Well, to your point, against the Cardinals, I remember people feeling like the defense got a little lucky. Right,
yes.
The Kyler slide. Or they had Marquise Brown, if I remember correctly, was wide open and dropped the pass.
Like I didn't feel great about the defense.
Right,
that
game. The Colts game, the defense was dominant.
Yeah.
Now they're not playing as good of an offense, but they were dominant. The other interesting team in this is the Giants would be 2-9-1.
Yeah, we know that.
The Giants are not that good.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just not that talented. And I give Brian Daboll credit for what he's done there for sure, but the Eagles have no business losing this game. The Giants shouldn't get over 20 points on the Eagles at worst.
Don't start that, man.
Gannon's not giving up more than 20.
I hear you, but we struggle against this damn team for some reason.
Yeah, that's fair. But they already got their weird divisional loss out the way.
I hope you're right. I truly do. We're going to, before the show is out today, I know it's only Wednesday. We normally don't get into the games this early in the week, but the Giants do something that we weren't necessarily doing well against early in the season, and that's blitzing.
Yep.
The Giants blitz almost half of their defensive snaps, more than any other team in the NFL. The Eagles are going to get a lot of that. Be interesting to see how we counter that Wink Martindale blitz-happy defense that they like to run. Meanwhile, let's get back to the phone lines, man. OBJ, speaking of Giants, former Giant. For me, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll probably get more into this Friday as well, this has always been the number one team for me on my list of hated teams in the NFL. That was the rivalry for me when I played. It was the Giants. We had the battles back and forth. And so I get a little extra juice in me the Giants week.
And I do think it's the Eagles for this. I'm sorry. It's the Cowboys for this current team. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, sure.
Like your Giants thing comes from your inability to beat them. I think this current group of Eagles definitely views the Cowboys as the team they want to beat.
Completely agree. Well, the Cowboys are better now than
100%.
They were. I was 10-4 against the Cowboys. I'm not keeping count, but
thank you for your service.
10-4, yeah. All right, let's get to Chris out in King of Prussia. He doesn't want OBJ. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, brother?
Yeah, I don't want OBJ, but
why not?
I really wanted to come because I just, you know, he's like y'all been saying, he's not really healthy. We don't know how he's going to be when he comes back anyway. Mm. So my point is, we don't even really need him right now. I like the way that we gelling and the way that we playing. And for Elliott, he keeps saying that the Russian can't be knockout punches and all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, it actually is the knockout punch if you use it right. All right, so when Washington beat the Eagles, what did they use to knock the Eagles out? They ran the ball.
Yeah.
So if you drop back and pass all day, that's what defensive coordinators really want you to do, Elliot.
Well, no, but I guess what I should say is in the NFL, you pass to get the lead. If your point is that you run to close the game out and you want to use that analogy as the knockout, I that's fair. Maybe that's a poor job by me. What I meant more was you pass to get the lead and to win big in the NFL. Then the run is if, as you said, late to...
Well,
to
that's not really true. You do.
It is true, though. I feel like...
to do to win the game. So if the game calls for you running the ball 10, 15 times in the first quarter because you gash in the defense for 10 to 15 yards every time, and that's what you're going to keep doing, why would you stop?
And against the Packers for one game, like, that's fine. But I'm saying to win the big games, to win in the playoffs, to win double-digit games.
That one game can be the Super Bowl. So when we get to the Super Bowl and we play in Kansas City, we want to keep Patrick Mahomes off the ball. What you going to say?
Right. So, but again, that's one game. Like, I get your point about individual matchups. I'm saying on a macro scale, on a larger point, the best teams in the NFL are the ones that throw the ball the best.
But your point is flawed when you say the game can be any game. That's why I'm trying to tell you.
But I'm talking about winning three playoff games.
If you're not prepared to run the ball for that game, you might lose that game.
But I'm talking, right, I agree with that, but I'm talking about winning three straight playoff games. Like, you are right that against the Chiefs, first of all, I would still throw the ball because that's how you get leads in the NFL. But I get your point about the Chiefs are bad stopping the run and all that. I see your point. But I'm saying over a prolonged stretch, like the playoffs. Like, look at 2017 Eagles. The games they were in their best was the games where Foles threw the ball great, threw it against the Vikings great, threw it against the Patriots great. So the run is important, but I'm saying the team is at its best and it's most important to throw the ball.
Yeah.
But he made good points.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. You think the team is at its best when it throws the ball?
Absolutely.
No, you feel better when they throw the ball. The team is not at its best when they throw the ball necessarily. They can be in some games, but not every game. I mean, you didn't like that 360 rushing yards? You didn't like that 360?
Well, what's the best win of the Sirianni era?
Well, that had more to do with the opponent also.
Well, but also they dominated.
Yeah, but right. They dominated through the air. They didn't dominate on the ground. They only had like 40 yards rushing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the game where we all felt the best about this team was the game where they threw it great.
Yeah, but that also had to do with the opponent they were facing, meaning that the way we felt about that opponent going into the game, we knew it was a huge benchmark for them going up against a team like Tennessee. And coming off the game they had against Green Bay, I think that's what made it a great opponent. I mean, some will say you went up against a one-dimensional team.
Now, look, the defense played better in the Tennessee game,
yeah,
which is part of it. But I just remember the feeling from last year when they could not throw the ball, and they were the best rushing team in franchise history.
No, I agree.
And it amounted to, look, it was important to make the playoffs for this team. I'm not saying it was nothing, but ultimately it really just amounted to no playoff wins in an embarrassing game. So, yes, running the ball is important. It has to be a counterpunch.
Right.
I just think the most important thing this team can do, and they're at their best because they got better receivers and they have running backs, too. Mm-hmm. That's the other part of this. Like, you know, the last caller said, why are they at their best? Because they're at their best when their $100 million receiver is making plays, when their number 10 overall pick is making plays. Miles is a great player. I would rather have the ball in the hands of A.J., Devontae, and Dallas than Miles, Boston Scott, and Kenny Gainwell.
Sure, but also Jalen's a part of the running game.
Yeah, he's part of the passing game, too.
Well, I know. That. I mean, that's what makes the offense as good as it is. I think what you're interpreting is that we don't care about the passing game. That's not what we're saying. All remember, I wanted the number one wide receiver this
offseason.
Yeah, you
and Jameson
Williams. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or anybody.
Right,
for that matter.
I mean, the draft.
Yes. So I wanted the number one wide receiver. So we know the passing game is important, but that doesn't mean the running game and having somewhat of a balance attack isn't also important. That's why we can appreciate when they are running the ball. The problem is you don't like when they're run heavy because it isn't exciting to you, whereas there are some of us that are just as happy when they run the ball as long as it leads to wins as we are when they throw the ball that leads to wins. And that's where we are.
Right.
We're good either way. It seems like you don't
want to
run.
I just want to see him pass the ball.
Yeah,
I know people are like, I know it's important to run the ball.
Yes.
I know they can run the ball. Yes. I know there's going to be games where they should go in and run the ball. But I also know that the passing is what wins in the NFL. So whenever I see them run, there is a part of me that's like, I don't know. Like, I've seen them do this, and this is not the path I want to go down. I want them to remain a dominant passing team.
Well, Elliot, they are not ever going to be a dominant passing team.
Well, they were on Sunday.
No, from the standpoint of it's what they do week in and week out because they can't run. That's the perception of dominant passing team. It's what you would prefer to do. They don't go into games saying, we're going to throw the ball this week. They don't do that. They say, what is going to give us the best chance to win this week? Okay, this team can't stop the run. This is where we're going. Mm. There are some teams who can't do that.
Right.
They got to go win by throwing the ball regardless.
And there's some coaches that won't do that either. Chip Kelly, same game plan no matter who the opponent was. Right. And I respect the fact that Nick, even though I know at his heart, likes to throw the ball, I respect the fact that he's willing to say, you know what, this week against the Packers, we're going to run it. Like, I think that's a sign of a good coach. But I also know that I'm happy that the guy that owns the Eagles knows to win long term, you have to throw the ball. I mean, I'm surprised people push back on this.
No, we don't.
I'm not saying push back.
I think people understand you have to throw the ball. It just doesn't have to be your primary source or your primary way of moving the ball. It's okay to move it through on the ground as well.
I get that.
You're the only one. Like, we're okay with either way. You're opposed to the running aspect of it.
I'm opposed to it for a long stretch of time.
Well, last year they couldn't pass the ball. That's the difference.
That's the biggest difference.
And where this really all came from was for the month before this whole thing started, they were not passing it well.
But it wasn't because they couldn't.
Well, it's not like they weren't throwing it. They were trying to throw the ball for that month.
Well, last year they weren't even trying.
Last year they are a way better passing team this year, without question.
All right, let's get back to the phones, man.
You know, it would make them even better if they got Odell.
Just throw the ball. That may be why some people don't want Odell.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're going to throw the ball 60 times a game. Does help for fantasy points, though. But that's just me. All right,
to pick him up.
Let's get Nate in Philly up here. What's up, Nate?
Hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, brother?
Thank y'all for letting me hold on till I hear everything y'all had to say. But listen, Elliot, I got to go along with you because I feel as though if Odell come here, just for him playing his namesake alone, they're going to put two defenders on him. Then they're going to put two defenders on A.J. Brown and even maybe Devontae Smith. Do you know how wide open we are?
Six defenders on three people.
I don't think Odell.
But you know what, Nate?
Real quick, to your point, I do not think they're going to double him. But I'll ask you, Ike, as a defender, isn't the name Odell don't you like keep a little extra eye on him more than if it's, you know, Pascal or like, isn't there a part of you when it's just the name itself? Right. So I don't think they're going to double him. But to Nate's point,
listen,
I mean,
that's why I'm not completely opposed to this. You're right. Yeah, you add Odell Beckham into that lineup, and those three receivers come out there.
Coordinators think about him a little
with
more.
With Dallas Goedert? Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Could I say one more thing?
Mm-hmm. Yep, go ahead.
I wish you guys just give me one moment to say my Eagles song number two that should be in America.
Okay.
All right, it's real quick. Can I go for it?
Here we go.
Are you singing? Go ahead.
Yeah.
Here we go. I want to fly like an eagle to my goal. Fly like an eagle, let that football carry my soul. I want to fly like an eagle around the round. Fly like an eagle, 6-point touchdown. Cause things keep on coming, trying to beat us. But we're much too fast. They'll never defeat us. For when they go into the huddle, and show their face. When they look up, the birds are all over the place. I want to fly like an eagle.
Oh, come on, man.
That was good. I think that might be the best song ever called in.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
There's this hidden talent out here in the streets.
Yeah, man.
That doesn't clear Sue and Allentown. Sorry.
Yeah, come on, man. It's hidden talent out here in the streets, man.
It's 30 seconds too long.
It was 30. It took a while for him to get. Yeah, he had verses.
He could be faster.
I feel like he could have dropped it after the 6-point touchdown.
Yeah. They started like speeding up to make sure it all rhymed. That's always my favorite.
Boy, man, he's rough back there.
I need the top five at five
worst singers.
Yeah, caller songs.
Yes. Wait, don't give him any ideas. He will come up with one. Let's get John in Ocean View up here. He's another guy that is okay with bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. What's up, John?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for letting me call.
Yes, sir.
All right, so do you guys think it's important how the team feels about bringing, how they would feel about bringing OJ,
OBJ.
How would they feel about it?
You know what?
You think that's important?
Yeah, I don't know how the players would feel about this. I don't. They certainly aren't doing what the hell the Cowboys have been doing, which is everybody coming out and saying, yeah, come on in, including the wide receivers on that team. Although I don't know how happy Michael Gallup would be with Odell Beckham Jr. in the building.
Well, but do you think the players – like do you think how the players feel about it? If you're Howie, if you're Sirianni, do you go to Jalen?
Yes.
Do you go to AJ?
Yes.
Do you check in on that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Have to.
I think so, too.
Yep.
Do you think that's important, and do you think that will have an effect on the outcome of the decision?
Yes,
I think
it
it's
should.
The most important.
I think it should, John. Yes, I certainly believe that when you got a team playing as well as they're playing right now and moving the ball on offense, if this is something that you are legitimately thinking about, yeah, I run it past my quarterback, and I certainly run it past A.J. Brown.
A.J., Devontae.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly would. I certainly would. And nothing else, just to get their thoughts on it. And if you come away from that meeting feeling like this is a no-go, none of these guys want them in here, or you go walk away feeling like, yeah, these guys would be okay. Like, I think Jerry Jones had those conversations with those players.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, before they actually
went out. Well,
they're
recruiting them, too.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So, and before he would go out there and openly do that, you run that by your team because you a smart owner or GM would do that. It should matter to you what your players that are in-house already think about this type of move. Like,
yeah,
it should matter
and
to
I
you.
And I think Nick would be good at that. You know, before the year, he met with each player to discuss what their role. He had one, I think it was with A.J., Devontae, and Dallas, you know, saying this is what our role is going to be, right?
So told Quez too.
Yeah, and I think Nick would be good at that, at making sure that both Odell and everyone else was on board with us.
And players respect that, man.
Yeah.
Like players will respect that you took their opinion into consideration before just going out and making a move and saying, just do this. I brought this up the 2018 season when they brought in Golden Tate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the receivers were the ones that were mostly upset about that.
Yeah.
Alshon and primarily Nelson Agholor, because that was the reason why it was perceived they went and got Golden Tate, because Nelson was playing
wasn't playing well. Yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't like that, just like they didn't like when Deshaun got signed here.
Yep.
When Deshaun got signed here. So, yeah, it does matter. It does matter to those guys, and that would be something that I if I were Howie or Nick, I would want to know before I made that type
Well, especially if Quez has accepted his role all year.
Right.
You got to make sure you really have that conversation with him.
Yeah. Yeah. My quarterback says, nah, man, we're good.
Then
we're good. Then. Yeah, yeah.
Until he's throwing to Britton Covey and Pascal in the NFC Championship game, then.
Well, Jalen, you know, the one thing I used to love about Five would always give those guys, oh, yeah, we don't need wide receivers.
Oh,
like, yeah.
yeah,
we're good with who we have.
I don't think
T.O.
enjoyed
time
that.
We wasted.
Yeah. Yeah.
We could have had more than we had one actual Super Bowl.
What did he say
just
about?
He threw somebody under the bus. We got to get this guy out of here.
Imagine. You're willfully holding your team back, man.
What did he say about T.O. in the playoff? Like, we'll be fine without him or
yes.
something? Like, yeah. And that's where it all began.
That's where it went downhill. Yes. Yes, that's where it went downhill. But this show is still going uphill.
Yes, sir.
Is that a good thing?
Yeah. Well.
It doesn't feel like we're going uphill.
We're at the top of the mountain. You're at the top of the – your guy's show is at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, but hopefully we're not working hard to still get up the hill. You know
that's
what I mean?
That's the point I'm making.
Because then
yes.
it's like that's a lot of work. Like hopefully we're steady, Eddie, but always striving to get 1% better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nothing I hate more than those cliches.
Well,
right
you don't
want to
get 1% better? We left money on the table?
Standard.
Yes,
standard.
Yes, all
the standard
of that. Yes.
Is the standard. It's always rising.
You never reach. It's always improvement.
When he starts giving those post-game cliches, Elliot, do you, like, kind of roll your eyes in the press conference?
No. I mean, look,
I'm
in my
be?
Big J, you know, at that point.
Well,
and
Elliot's in the front seat, too.
Exactly, yeah.
He's Elliot. There. Yeah, he's there so he can be seen.
Yeah. I don't wear
like
orange
Howard.
Sweater for nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, Howard wants to be acknowledged, though, when he's sitting
Howard
there.
Got a question in the postgame press conference the other day.
Yeah, he did. He made sure he didn't go outside the boundaries either.
Yeah, but he tries to make a joke with Coach. He's like,
oh, yeah.
Hey, Nick. Like, hey. And then Nick kind of laughs at the same time, too, because it's like, well, what are you doing?
Got his fur on.
Yeah. Listen, he only got that Super Bowl ring because of the question he asked Doug out in Cincinnati, and that's a fact.
What was that question?
Remember, he was like, do you think your players played hard enough today or whatever?
Oh, yeah,
And Doug finally threw them under the bus?
Yep. That's right.
Turning point of the career of Doug Peterson.
That's why he's the king.
Oh, my God. 215-592-9494. Yeah, no more shenanigans from these two guys, man. See, Jack gets off the chain, and then he's hard to get him back on the chain. But we got a way to get him back on the chain. The Phillies made some more signings yesterday. Boy, I tell you, that Dave Dombrowski does not take any time off.
It's got to be killing Howie. That's why Howie's about to sign Odell. He's like, all right, you want to bring Trey Turner in? You want to sign all these guys? I'll get back on the front page.
Well, we'll go to our residential Phillies expert and get his thoughts on the moves that were made yesterday. We'll get into that and more. Get back to your phone calls as well right here on the Marks and Reese Show, Elliott Shore Parks, Ike Reese.
Have you dreamed of Eagles season tickets? Well, join me Thursday night at the Iron Oven in Southampton and register for WIP's Game Day 2023 season ticket giveaway presented by Miller Lite. Come watch the Thursday night game and enjoy Miller Lite specials with great giveaways like merch and Eagles tickets. It's WIP's season ticket giveaway with yours truly Thursday night at 7:30 at the Iron Oven in Southampton. Go to 94WIP.com/contest. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Philadelphia, celebrate responsibly.
Taijuan Walker, when you go back to last year with the Mets, with Scherzer and DeGrom being down, who held down the fort? Walker did and Bassett did, right? The kind of the second-tier guys. And when you look at Walker, 2021, he made 30 starts. 2022, he made 29 starts. This guy's a workhorse. And I just love the sign. He fits into that rotation with Wheeler, Nola, Suarez. I think it's a great sign for the Phillies.
Yeah, boy, it definitely was a great signing. And that is former Cincinnati great Sean Casey.
Exactly right.
That nobody cares about.
Well, Dombrowski traded for him, too. So.
There you go. Yeah, boy, and if he was good enough for Dave Dombrowski, he's good enough for me, man.
There you go.
Exactly right.
There you go. But, man, yesterday, Dave Dombrowski, a little busy yesterday, Jack Fritz. Elliott Shore Park sitting in for Johnny Marks. Yeah, Phillies are also still busy. It is. Yeah. Is this considered hot stove or we're in free agency? What is this considered?
Well, it's the meetings, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the winter meetings. And I guess they're back. they're finally back. But the stove's hot, man. Everyone's signing.
Yeah, and we're not used to the stove being hot in early December, honestly.
Look at the times, Major League Baseball. Yeah. Every other sport's made their offseason, like, interesting. And,
right.
And look at them being like, hey, maybe we should also jump on that opportunity.
The Phillies go to the World Series one time, and this is what happens.
Everybody jumps on. Somebody in San Francisco leaked that, yes, that Aaron Judge was about to sign with the Giants, and we got that corrected quickly.
Signs with the Yankees today.
As Brian Cashman said, hold on now. Yeah, we ain't made our final offer yet.
Well, I do wonder if the Yankees saw they're like, all right, never mind, Aaron Judge. Just tell us whatever you want. Here's the blank check.
9 years, 360. Whew. Actually, I like the fact that he stayed in New York. I'm not a Yankee fan, but there's something about the Yankees being relevant that makes it good for baseball.
And him staying with the same team, right?
Yes.
That's where he's been his whole career.
Yes,
so.
It's where he got drafted, so I'm perfectly fine with that. But meanwhile, the Phillies are at it again, as Ken Rosenthal said. They closed in on the deal for the left-handed reliever, Matt Strom. How about that? So you get two pitchers, Jack. Taijuan Walker. Is it Taijuan?
Taijuan Walker and Matt Strom, yes.
Man, how about that? So, first of all, break down Walker for me. Another starter, but not maybe the level of starter that some of us were hoping for.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, frankly. I think he's good. You know, I think he's a low-end three, high-end four. But they're paying $72 million for a guy that you don't really want to start a playoff game.
What I was going to ask you. So he's
you don't
more of a
want him to start
like,
a playoff
like
game.
He's not going to be a guy that's going to start over Ranger or any of those guys. Like it's like where you started Thor in one of the games last year. Like sure, he's better than that, but right. Is that really a difference maker?
So he more is a guy to help you get through the season,
right? And he's good and he has upside. Like he's only 30. He's come out of Tommy John the last couple of years, so he's starting to build that back. He's better than Eflin. He's better than Thor. He's better than those guys. But he's not like a guy that's like, okay, this is going to put them over the top. It's more like a get-through guy.
Now, do you think that Ranger could improve next year to be that guy? Like, do you think when they sign someone like him, it's because they think, well, all right, well, we have Wheeler. We think Ranger can improve. Obviously, they have the bullpen pieces. Like, do you think that's why they're not going for the top guy?
I think they believe in Ranger a lot. Like, I think they think of him as like a
legit three.
Yeah. Like, I think they think he's in that tier to where like they don't need, it's not like such a pertinent need. And the other guy is obviously Andrew Painter. Like he's gonna be a guy this time next year where it's like he's the future of the rotation. So
$18 million a year. For a fourth starter?
Yes.
Yeah, but you need guys like that to get you through the season.
You do.
You know, like if you don't want to be playing wild card weekend again because you're starting Thor
So let me ask you this. Eflin got 17 a year, right?
Yeah, 3 years, 40.
So
it's closer money.
So I'm just wondering, is he an upgrade over Eflin?
He is an upgrade over Eflin.
Okay.
And he stays healthy.
Okay.
Like, I mean, like the last couple of years he's pitched like 150 innings each around-ish.
Okay.
The last 2 years, so that matters. The one weird thing with him is that like the last 2 years, he was an all-star last year. He's a great first half pitcher, and the second halves haven't been as strong.
Nice.
So
they got another Nola, basically.
Nola figured it out.
October Nola, man. He was good.
November Nola was
until he completely cratered.
He completely cratered.
But with the pitching staff, I feel like people feel good about Wheeler as the one. Mm-hmm. They feel good about Ranger as the three. So really, what you're looking for is just somebody to step ahead of Nola.
I was looking for another ace. Like I had the idea of heading into next year with having four guys that I felt like could win any playoff start they started.
And you feel that way about Nola?
Yes, I still feel that way about Nola.
Yeah. What's the deal with all of Nola?
Well, didn't he get shelled his last three starts?
Okay, but
I'm just being real here. Like
230 innings also.
Yeah, he was awesome last year, and though he had those two or three really good starts in the big games, I agree with that. But I'm saying his last three games were not exactly.
Sure.
You can make the argument if he pitches better.
It cost him the we're going Cliff Lee? Is that where we're going?
Don't call Hamels 09?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that where we're going right now?
So, but do you think they're going to go for another one of those guys?
No, I think this is their guy. I think this is their rotation heading into next year.
All right, so what about Matt Strom?
He's an upgrade over Brad Hand. At worst case scenario, he's a league average reliever. I think there's upside for more. I've liked him for like a couple years in fantasy. Never totally has put it together, but showed some signs out of the bullpen last year. He converted from being a starter to a bullpen guy. His ERA was around like 3.5. So,
do they have a lot more money to spend?
So they have 15 until the next threshold, but you want to leave like $8 million for yourself for trades at the deadline and stuff. So.
Well, has the arbitration guys got their raise yet?
That's factored into the projections of the salary.
Okay.
Salary cap. Okay. So you're already projecting like Reese commanding $12 million.
Right. Right.
And so Reese will be back on arbitration.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless they trade him, but I don't think they will.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, especially now if you're signing pitchers like this, like who are we trading for? I mean, so, you would have traded him for a pitcher, I would imagine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
But you probably couldn't. He's probably worth more to us than he is trading into someone else. Because if you trade Reese Hoskins, then you're looking for a one-year rental. He's essentially your one-year rental if you don't view him in your long-term plans.
Right. And also, he's a guy that you've seen in the postseason. I know he did not have a great World Series, but he made a lot of big hits in that run. So
I love Reese Hoskins, man. I'm a Reese Hoskins guy, and I get the issues over there at first base playing defense. I get it, the strikeouts also. But I also know having that right-handed power hitter in the lineup, which we don't have a lot of those guys, certainly is beneficial to this team. So,
well, let me ask you guys this. So,
and with Bryce being out for half the year, you're going to
need more bats.
You need more bats in the lineup, not less bats.
And it's easier to put Rice. It's easier to put Reese at a DH if Bryce isn't playing. But so Jack kind of seems like they have no more money, or they don't have a lot more money to spend.
It's like enough to sign another reliever.
Yeah, but they're barring a trade, there's no other big move coming. Where do you think they are now? Like, because obviously their division is really tough. Do you view these things as putting them at the top of their division, top of the NL? Like,
the Mets is interesting. They brought in Verlander, so we'll see what that does. I'm wondering, did they lose anybody from the everyday lineup? They pretty much bring back everybody.
Yeah, they might lose Brandon Nimmo, their center fielder. He's a free agent.
Mm-hmm. But oh, no.
They, Well, he's a loser. He's a loser. Yeah. But, you know, other than that, yes, I'm pretty sure everyone's back.
So, I mean, listen, the Mets are still a good team. The Braves are probably still at the top of the division.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean, either way.
It's a really good division.
I was going to say.
It's a really good division, man. You're going to need.
I mean, the Braves and Mets, the Mets won 100-plus games. The Braves won 100-plus games. And the Phils made the World Series.
Yeah.
And all three of those teams have gotten pretty much better. Unless the Braves lose Dansby Swanson, their shortstop, who could go to the Cardinals or Cubs. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's going to be interesting. I mean, the Dodgers are obviously still there, but they're not spending money for some reason. The Padres are trying to sign a superstar, but they can't get one. The Cardinals signed a good catcher today. So
remember, the Padres get Tatis back next year.
They get Tatis back.
It is crazy the Phillies spent all this money, and they're really not guaranteed a playoff
spot. Well, and the other thing is that Bryce is going to miss half the year.
Right.
So they have to get off to a pretty hot start, mm-hmm. or else this thing could all, you know, kind of crater.
The one thing I will say that I've liked about these signings, they aren't one-year signings. Now, hopefully they turn out to be the players that Dombrowski is projecting them to be with this team. But he's giving you a 3 to 4 year window here with these guys to try to get this done. So we know that we're only going to get Bryce for half a year. I'm not saying next year doesn't matter or what have you. I'm just saying moving forward, a lot of these guys are going to be here for the next 3 to 4 years.
Well, and it's also crazy to look back at what Bryce did in that postseason and really the majority of last season when he played, and he wasn't even fully healthy.
Right.
So imagine now he gets the time, he has the surgery, he fully recovers, gets back. To think what he could be after that is it's both awesome and scary for, you know, the rest of the league.
Yep. Yep. How about that? A little baseball talk in December, man.
Baseball
guys. Just before the holidays.
Yeah. You going to get that Trey Turner number 7?
Maybe.
Might.
I don't know if I can do the jersey thing anymore. I'm kind of almost 30 and I'm going to be a dad.
You past know? That?
Yeah, I feel like I've graduated past the
jersey. You could get the baby jersey.
You can always do the jersey.
No, it's even worse. It's even, I pretty much have my Dutch jersey, and that's like.
And that's about it.
Yeah, he has his Dutch jersey.
It took you to the World Series, so, you know. That's very dad of you, too, you know.
Yeah, I know. Having a Dutch jersey, yeah.
Tell the kid, you know, back when in my days, he used to watch Dalton or whatever.
Dutch Dalton.
Didn't watch one game of him, frankly.
Yeah.
But he was a great Philly. That is for sure. All right. Well, we'll take your phone calls on some Phillies offseason moves and where you think they are. You certainly are welcome to join in with that. But we're talking about the Birds right now, man. It's football season. Team is 11-1. And quite frankly, when there isn't a lot to nitpick at as far as concerns with the team, what we're trying to figure out is, man, how can we get to the promised land and be a sure thing once we get there? So adding wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. has been the topic of our discussion today and whether or not you would do it. I will say this. Elliot has made some very good arguments in favor of bringing in Odell Beckham Jr. You know, I love being able to counter Elliot if I certainly disagree with him. But I can't necessarily say I disagree with what a lot of what he said today. It makes sense. I just don't know if it's an – if it's, is it a luxury or a necessity? It feels more like a luxury than a necessity.
To me, it's kind of like when they draft a center in the second round, you go, why are they doing that? Well, it's only a luxury until it's a necessity, right? Like you don't want it to get to a point where you need a necessity and that player is not there. So a player that could be a luxury today come second week of the playoffs could be like, wow, it's a good thing they have him.
It really is kind of like what happened to the Rams last year. Like, I think Robert Woods got injured the second day Odell Beckham was there.
Yeah.
At practice.
He
tore his ACL. So it went from being a luxury to have Odell. Like, man, thank God we signed him.
And it is interesting that Odell was willing to go there, right? Because, you know, a lot of callers today, and rightfully so, have brought up, is he going to be happy here in this role? He just signed up for this exact situation, but really with a less of a chance at a ring. The Rams were not a dominant regular season team last year. The Eagles right now project way more likely to win the Super Bowl.
He did get a ring last year.
He caught a touchdown.
He did. He did. Believe me, I won that prop bet.
There you go.
Anytime Odell touchdown.
If he signs here, you can make sure you remind, you know, tell him about that.
All right, man, let's get back to the phone lines. We have Noel in Boston who wants to chime in. Eagles fans in Boston, that has to be a rare thing. What's up, Noel?
You know what, Ike? It's actually not as rare as you would think. There are a number of bars in this town you can go to on Sunday, and it's packed with Birds fans.
Really?
But I have YouTube TV up here. I put in a Philly zip code because I'm from there. I put the Philly zip code in, so I watch all Sixers, Flyers, Eagles.
Nice.
all of it up here in my old living room. But I might get out to a bar with a couple of Giants fans this weekend so I can rub it in their face.
Mm-hmm.
not to put the cart before the horse, but I'm feeling good. Real quick, Philly's question before I get to my Eagle stuff. Dombrowski has a history of raiding the farm system to make big moves. I haven't really been paying close attention. Has he been doing that to the Fightins?
He has not.
Or is he keeping our young talent?
Yeah, he has not. Surprisingly, hasn't made any trades, so he hadn't had to give up any of the young prospects. They have enough money there.
Well, the biggest prospect they gave up last year was the their number one catching prospect, Logan O'Hoppe. But that was to get Brandon Marsh.
Oh, yes.
But he hasn't touched any of the
I thought he meant chippers. Like right now, yeah.
Yeah, the blue chippers.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a plus-plus, and it even makes it stronger, like to your point that, you know, these guys are going to be here for a few years, and we've got the young ones coming up too, so that's good.
Yep.
Odell Beckham, I don't want him. I wouldn't want to bring him in. I can only see, I mean, Elliot, I can see the point that you made of having him as, so reason one to bring him in would be somebody gets injured and we need another receiver. Mm-hmm. Reason two would be, he's a distraction and a headache for a defensive coordinator. But the reason I wouldn't want him, number one, is the timing, right? Right now, word is he's not going to be ready to play until the playoffs. And if this team goes in, if we run the table and you go into the playoffs, you don't want to, pardon my French, you don't want to mess with that chemistry at all, right? You're running no huddle. You're using eye signals. These guys know each other.
I think in a month you can bring them kind of up to speed, but it's only an issue if you're putting them out there over guys that are healthy, right? Like, you're not going to put him out there over, obviously, AJ or Devontae. But you're right. Like, okay, Pascal's been here the whole time. Quez has been here the whole time. So you're right. Like, they have chemistry with Jalen, but those guys aren't as good as Odell.
I agree. I agree they're not. But I think, look, man, I think Quez is not as good as he could be, and it's only because he can't get fed as much as Brown and Devontae. He's just not going to. But mm-hmm. I think, yeah, we've seen it. We've seen his production is pretty much doubled over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah. I'll take that back a little bit. Like, I think Quez might be better than Odell right now. But Odell, Quez doesn't have the experience Odell does.
He doesn't have the experience. I'll give you that. And then Elliot, I don't know your background, man. I don't know if you played the game or not. I love the argument about you have to throw the ball
Thank
to
you.
Get the lead to win. No, I mean, I love the argument. I don't agree with you.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah.
Look, whether you run or whether you pass, all that matters is if you score. And if you run, you're keeping the other quarterback off the field. And if you are playing in the playoffs and you're playing the top teams, you're obviously playing the teams that have good quarterbacks, right? Decent to good quarterbacks. You want to keep them off the field. The only thing that matters is scoring points. And if you can run the football and if you can score points, you run the football and you score points.
But
it beats down the other team. It beats their morale. It beats down their defense. Your offensive linemen are dishing out punishment, not taking the punishment and pass protecting all the time. I mean, in my opinion, it doesn't matter. If you score touchdowns, you're still getting the lead.
Yeah, but all right, a couple things. One, the game.
Appreciate the call, Noel.
Like, the rules are meant to help the passing game, right? From that perspective, I think you're better off attacking the game through in which the system is making it easier for you to do it, right? Like, the rules are that it's harder for cornerbacks to cover receivers than it used to be. So there's that. But the other thing of this, again, is like, then why pay AJ $100 million? Why draft Devontae number 10 overall? Like, these are the guys that you've committed your top resources to. And
not commit them to running backs.
Yeah, and look, you know, if I've explained this poorly, that's on me. I'm okay with the fact that they can run the ball. It's just more important to be able to pass it first, and then if you can run it then, that's fine. But the league is built on passing. So for the Eagles to get anywhere, they're going to have to pass the ball at an elite level. You can get by with an average run game. You can't really get by with an average passing game.
Nah, great point there, brother. All right, let's get Jeff in Wilmington up here. He has his thoughts on some of the Philly signings. We threw that in there as well. What's up, Jeff?
Yeah, real quick, I'm actually in Ohio right now, but that's I'm
man, you got to Ohio anyway. From Wilmington that fast?
Yeah. Now, I like I said yesterday, I'm a driver. I had a safe trip getting back. I didn't wreck the truck. So,
oh, glad to hear it.
Yeah, I run across Ohio 4 times a week from one end to the other.
So, wow.
It's a lot of driving.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, Real quick on OBJ. I don't think I would take him, but I understand your point, Elliot, about having a backup if somebody gets injured. But I don't think you want to upset the apple cart right now. If there was a way we could sign him and just, like, put him in the closet for three or four more weeks.
Well, but you could kind of do
probably
that
would
right
have
now.
To do that.
Like,
because
he'd be rehabbing. He'd be in meeting rooms and stuff, but he's not going to be out, presumably. Now, I'll also say this. We're all basing this off of what the Cowboys doctors thought.
Right.
N'Kobe Dean was viewed as somebody that might need surgery, and he played week one. So I think that this idea, Odell, won't be ready right now. I don't think we should say that in concrete.
That's cool. So let's say you basically Quez and OBJ, let's just say for the sake of argument, they're about the same player. Do you think if OBJ gets the touches that Quez gets, he's going to be happy?
No.
You see what I'm saying?
Well, but like, I mean, but next year, will Odell be happy with that? No. At this point of the season where he's a free agent, he can go somewhere else. I think he would. Again, we just saw this in L.A. He just went to L.A. and was happy with that. And they were so happy with him, they had kept a locker with his name on it up until last week. So we've seen him step into this and accept it. But also, like, is Quez better? Is Odell better? We can debate that. I just know if AJ or Devontae goes down, I'm happy to at least have somebody that might be as good as Quez.
Yeah, I think that's – and you almost don't want to project injury, but what you're saying is in the case of injury.
Well, the last two times the Eagles made the Super Bowl, there's major injuries in each one.
How about that?
Yeah. But 2004, they lost
T.O. So we almost need an injury.
It's true. And not only did we lose T.O., we lost Chad Lewis in the NFC Championship game.
People forget that.
Yeah. I think that, I got Jeff Thomason out there as my tight end and L.J. Smith. And
not LaDainian Tomlinson?
No.
Didn't Chad Lewis catch a touchdown against the Falcons, though?
Yeah. And that's the play.
Right.
No. That's when he broke his foot. When it happened on that play.
So was it Barcher? Who was the
– the Super Bowl tight end?
Yeah.
It was L.J., and we re-signed. You remember Jeff Thomason? He played with us. He played with Andy in Green Bay. So Andy would bring him here. We traded for Jeff Thomason in 99. So he was here for a minute, and then he left, and then Andy brought him back. Like,
who was that tight end?
The bye week before the Super Bowl.
Like Julian Vandervelde. Let's bring back Jeff.
Real quick, because we got to get to this Twitter question. And it's sponsored by Mark's Jewelers. Get the VIP treatment at Mark's Jewelers with a personal diamond consultant to help you select the perfect engagement ring. Online at marks-jewelers.com. What is that Twitter question, Jack?
Well, we got two up right now. The first one, do you want the Eagles to sign Odell Beckham Jr.? 81% still saying no. Phone lines, I would say, are like 75% saying yes.
Yeah.
So.
It's one of those days where Twitter is like no, but the phone lines are like yes.
Yeah,
so smart, Mike, Marks and Reese callers.
Yeah, that's what we say about our callers. Yeah. Very smart. And then the second one is, who do you trust more, Howie Roseman or Dave Dombrowski?
Wow.
74% saying Howie.
What a bunch of frauds
this city is. A year and a half ago, everyone wanted him fired. Now he's more trustworthy than Dave Dombrowski.
But I got you, bro.
That's right. Things change fast, man.
One of them won a ring for the city.
Hold on, people wanted him fired after he won the ring for the city.
People were wrong.
All right, you too. All right, Mr. Baseball in there. We get it. We get it, man. Howie's the number one GM in town.
Hmm?
More than Maury, too.
Well, of course. I mean, that guy's terrible now. Are you kidding me?
What about Chuck Fletcher?
Who?
Yeah.
Who's the union GM?
I don't know.
Jim Curtin?
Yeah. Well, he's a coach. He might be the GM, too.
Oh, my God. Hey, it's 4 o'clock. Well, it's time for the 4 o'clock hour, and Brian Baldinger will be with us when we come back on the other side. Would he sign OBJ? Something tells me. Well, I'll just wait to get his answer when we talk to him. I don't think he would, but
that's my guess.
You never know. Now, does he think Jalen is the MVP right now? And just how impressive was the win over the Tennessee Titans? Don't miss Baldy coming up next right here on 94 WIP. Hey, start the NFL Week 14 off right with a no-sweat same-game parlay from FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sports book. That's right. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or you already have an account. You'll get free bets back if your Thursday night same game parlay doesn't hit. The NFL same game parlays are the perfect way to combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payday this week. on Thursday night, you got the Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Los Angeles Rams. Okay, let's go with the running back from Vegas, Josh Jacobs, to go over in his rushing yards. How about the quarterback, Derek Carr from Las Vegas, to go over in his passing yards? And we'll give the anytime touchdown to the tremendous wide receiver from Las Vegas, Devontae Adams. Anytime touchdown there. Now, you can build your own or choose from one of the popular same game parlays that's pre-built for you in FanDuel's top-rated sportsbook app. However you want to play, you can bet the NFL on Thursday night with a no-sweat same-game parlay. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. Man, I really do like this FanDuel app. Just sign up with promo code Ike if you don't already have an account. And if you already have FanDuel, then you're all set. Just sign in to see what you've got. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL.